Today on Locked On Red Wings, we're going to respond to some of your user comments from an episode we did, 2 weeks ago now, Scotty? And then we're going to preview the New Jersey Devils game and a little bit of how do you feel about it Friday. Nice packed episode to end the week and the season on.
You're Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. We are your hosts, Brian Fisher and Scotty Bentley. Scotty also hosts over at Locked On Tigers. And we want to thank you guys for making us your first listen every single day. We are free and available on all platforms. And Scotty, my man, it's like our third episode in a row where bright daylight outside. Just absolutely. I'm loving my new schedule, man. I'm loving it.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, it's actually, it's crazy. I with us recording earlier, I've been going to bed and waking up earlier too, like indirectly, like our recording earlier has shifted my sleep schedule too, which like all of my work, I can do from home whenever. So like, it's crazy.
Yeah, so like because the fact that there's no more home games at LCA, obviously you know this, but for the listener, I don't have to record at midnight anymore after I get home from work. Like I can just be like, oh, I got home at work at 4 o'clock, which is amazing. I worked like 10:30 to 4. Like that's the benefit of the off season, is that now when I work 60 to 70 hours a week during the season, now we're in the off season. I'm working, you know, there are going to be days still where I obviously work, you know, full 8 hours, but it's significantly slower, and that's the payoff to all that hard work during the season. So I got home at 4 today. I texted Scotty, who was pissed off at the Tigers. Hey, do you want to record and get the Friday episode out of the way? He goes, heck yeah, let's do it. And so here we are, and I'm loving it. Like the fact that I can have the rest of my we're recording this on a Thursday afternoon / evening.
NFL draft tonight.
Yeah,
that's why I'm trying to get this out of the way. I'm trying to do Tigers right after this for tomorrow. And so I can buckle up and get ready for the draft.
Oh, it's going to be – it'll either be very exciting or very disappointing, depending on who the Lions take there at number 2.
Yes, of course.
But if you want to hear about that, go check out Matt Derry and Locked On Lions.
Best in the business right there. Not too much better way to define him than just a professional. That dude knows what's up.
Absolutely does. Really nice guy, too. But that's neither here nor there. Scotty, it's the end of the season, as I stated about a couple minutes ago, as you punch your microphone. I don't know what the hell that was.
I don't know.
Are you that angry over the Tigers?
No, like, dude, I'm just a large uncoordinated. I grew too fast as a kid. I'm uncoordinated, all right?
But yeah, as we approach the end of the season here, the last game being on Saturday, tomorrow by the time you're listening to this, we wanted to look back at an episode we did a couple weeks ago on tank or buy-in. What were your guys' thoughts?
Long ago?
It's been about 2 weeks. Let me.
Really? I was thinking like it was like a week. It was like last week. That was like my
off
memory.
Base. And now I'm like, now you got me questioning myself.
No, if it,
10
I
days.
Mean,
it was 10 days ago.
10? Yeah.
So okay. A week and a half.
Yeah.
But I, at the end of the episode, I'd thrown to you guys like, hey, let us know what you think. Should Red Wings tank or buy in this offseason? Are you committing to continuing the rebuild, or are you trying to make a commitment to winning next season? And a lot of you guys gave us a pretty strong
feedback. Of awesome answers. Yeah, a lot of awesome answers.
On YouTube, Red Wings Got Next, someone who's pretty frequently commenting on our YouTube page, and we read these guys. We really do, and so we always appreciate the feedback. He said, for next year, if I was Yzerman, I think the Wings should stay as competitive, but don't try all out to make the playoffs. Don't buy at the deadline. Boston is still too good to try and pass up. Keep the year's core together for the most part. Add Edvinson, Berggren, and the growth of Mo and Raymond to see how many more wins that gets. Still wanting to try and get a top 10 pick, though, but should be the last year of them trying to be in the lottery. I think he makes a lot of good points here. I agree. I think I agree with the
He or she.
Yeah, that's a good point. This person makes a lot of good points on trying to, you know, grow the young players, but not go all in for the playoffs, because it does still feel like it's too soon, especially with next year being the Connor Bedard year, who's like even being talked about more than Shane Wright. Yeah. The only downside I see to this is if you have all that young top end talent come up to the NHL level, it'll be hard to keep yourselves down in the bottom 10 unless you decide to keep Jeff Blashill around, which is also a very prominent possibility.
It might not be, man. I mean, like, I don't know. I think it would be difficult to crack like top seven. Yes, I completely agree. And that was my point on the original show that we did, right? Like, I think you have too much young talent to like completely, truly tank ever again. But I don't think it would be that. I mean, if with a team that young, I don't think like 8 to 10 range maybe is not that far. I don't know. I like a lot of points there, and I kind of agree with that mindset. I think that's probably where my beliefs lie. I think you don't buy all in because you're not that close yet. You're not ready to make that jump yet. So you don't go and spend all of your insane cap space all at once and call everybody up that's anybody and just like go like that. You don't do that. But I also think it you're already started the clock for Raymond and Sider. So like just not calling anyone up and doing nothing is just a literal wasted year. And those two in your top six are too good to, if you did truly nothing and just said, let's run it back with the exact same team. You're also too good to get a top 5-6, maybe even 7 selection. Like it's not going to happen. So I think that, I kind of abide by that logic as well. I think you make some small pieces, get some filler, you try to be competitive. You see where the team's at the All-Star break. If it looks like it did this year, you sell again the expiring deals, and then you finish out the season and lose again in the second half of a year. I don't think a copy and paste of this season is a unsuccessful year next year.
I agree with you on like everything you said, but I will add the caveat too that I think next year, I feel like next year has to be the last year that just a small step forward is acceptable, especially if that young talent does make that leap.
You can't be getting top 10 picks in
every year
in Raymond and Sider's third year.
Yeah. So I think I'm okay with
going to be 28, like in their third year, like you can't do that.
Like I'm okay in theory with that next year being that way. I think there's a reason why Eiserman extended Blashill for 2 years, because I do think he wants to be in that Shane Wright and Connor Bedard sweepstakes. So I'm okay with, begrudgingly so, because I'm ready for this team to compete, like emotionally. I'm ready for them to like be good again. But logically, I'm okay with them taking another small step forward to continue to try and be in the mix for Connor Bedard. But I think after next year, like you really got to look at this team and say, all right, is it all in or all out? Because you cannot continue to make these small improvements. So you got to make a big improvement via splash in the free agency at some point, but I'm okay with this offseason being the final small improvement, year, so to speak.
I agree.
Ace Fishing 1 on YouTube replied in the comments saying, Steve goes wild with UFAs on defense this summer and the Griffins win the championship next season because of the players who get sent down. I love it. I'm not entirely sure it wasn't said in tongue in cheek. as far as, I don't know if there's really a game changing defenseman on the free agent market that's going to, like, you can make your defensive core better by a lot.
Yeah, that's why I think a lot of people were advocating for defensemen last year because they knew that the defenseman market this upcoming year was going to be a little weaker. You certainly can make it better, like you said, and it's pretty much impossible to make it worse. So anybody you bring in is going to be something that's relatively nice. I really like that though. I mean, let's just make the Griffins an electric factory. Just send them all our talent.
Again, the top rated defenseman, in this upcoming free agency is John Klingberg. And I like Klingberg a lot. Like I've talked about him before on the show, but he's an offensive defenseman through and through. He's going to be looking for a big payday, a long contract. He's already getting paid like $4.25 million with the Stars. So he's going to be looking for an upgrade on that.
He's going to get a bag.
And his defensive metrics, like as a defenseman, like he is 100% offensively oriented. So if you're trying to make your defense better, and obviously like, you score more goals, you win games. So he would still benefit the defense from that angle, but he doesn't really shore up the defensive side of the puck that much. So, I mean, in theory, it's nice to the idea of spending money on defense is nice, but I don't know how much better you can make the defense. I mean, you could make this defense better because one of the worst defenses in the league, but
yeah.
I do like the idea of getting your prospects in Grand Rapids, not necessarily help them win a championship, but just for them to take the next step of their development.
Agreed.
Do got to talk to you guys today about Built Bar, and oh my God, is this an ad read for Ants?
Put the banner up.
Put the banner up. I'm zooming in on that ad read so I can read it to you guys, so you guys know what I'm talking about. Summer is coming, and with summer, you're going to need some food on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bags, in your kids' backpacks. Make sure that everyone has a bar so that you are fueled for your summer adventures. The best part about Built Bars, they are healthy and delicious. No more sacrificing delicious food for health. With Built Bar, you can have both, and it's easy. All you have to do is go to Built.com and order now. All Built Bars and Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means that with Built Bar, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. That was my first time reading that version of the ad copy, Scotty. I think I did pretty good.
That was good, man. Back
there. Thank you. I want credit. Give me credit.
I did.
Give me validation.
I did, man.
No, you're more.
Right. You're fantastic.
All right, cool. Thank you. Now I'm satisfied. All right. Segment 2, Lockdown Red Wings podcast. Remind me to cut that later.
No.
I'm not going to cut it. We're responding to your guys' comments from the tanker buy-in episode. We promised we would do that, and we just, as the season was ending, it felt like the right time to do it. Charlie on YouTube said, it is openly being discussed that certain players are not giving their all. Who are they from anyone's eye test? Now, that's an interesting one, because, one, that's a dangerous thing for us to speculate about anytime. I would say, like, when it comes to, I mean, these are NHL hockey players fighting for jobs. So I don't necessarily think that, I know it's openly being discussed, but who in an NHL locker room, even on a team that's, you know, down and out, probably going to be losing for the remainder of the season, these players are still, you know, expiring contracts, looking for their next NHL gig at the very least. So it's hard to believe that anyone would not give their all. I know that does happen from time to time, but on this roster, man, it's hard. It's very speculative that I don't want to go out there and claim this person.
There's a difference between I am exhausted in the second game of a back-to-back and we've lost 8 straight and I'm not motivated to do this and I'm probably not going to play this game like it's the Stanley Cup. Versus, hey, everybody, the Detroit Red Wings want a better draft pick, so half of you on expiring deals suck to help out the organization and the fan base. That the latter does not exist.
Yeah,
that does not happen. No player in the history of sports has ever intentionally tried to lose for the beneficiary of that organization's draft status.
There have been cases of people doing it.
Coaches can do it, and ownership can do it. Players don't do that.
There have been cases of people doing it for their wallet, though. Very famous baseball one.
Well, yeah. yes.
I'm just messing with you.
No, but like, I mean, there's, yeah, management and stuff. Like, there's plenty of reasons players and every level does a lot of stuff. But players, like you said, on expiring deals that are trying to raise their numbers or whatever, like, they get paid hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million, to play a sport. They are trying every single night. They are not trying they are trying in the sense that they're not going to openly suck to get better draft pick. There's a big difference between unmotivated and exhausted because you can't stop losing. And like I said, like, you're on a back to back and or a home and home, and it's just like, I'm tired. I'm probably not going to play this game like it's the Stanley Cup. There's a big difference between that versus I want the Red Wings, in which I will be off the team in 2 months, to have a better draft pick.
Well, and it's like, I would understand that, like dogging it a little because you're out of the playoffs. That I could understand, and I still won't speculate. I'm not comfortable saying this person's not trying their hardest.
We don't know any of these people by name, so yeah.
Yeah, I don't know them in real life, but right. I mean, it's hard to think that anyone on an expiring deal trying to look for a new NHL job would go out there and just be like, yeah, I don't. I mean, I can see that, like, them maybe dogging it a little bit, but just flat out not trying, I don't see. And then that leaves you with guys who are on contracts through next year. And that's like Dylan Larkin, Jacob Vrana, Tyler Bertuzzi, Pew Suter. Like, those are your top end guys. Well, Pew Suter, being a top six forward on this team, I don't see them going like, I don't care anymore. Like, these are your more productive players. They're the ones who are still producing, minus Dylan Larkin because he's injured. But even up until his injury, he was playing injured. I mean, that says all you need to know. So I think the way you broke it down makes the most sense, Scotty, in that, they're probably dogging it a little bit, but I don't think that they're flat out not trying at this point.
I agree.
There is one more comment I want to get to from that episode. This is from Joel B. I see this team next year stockpile their Swedish talent in Grand Rapids and probably plug in a guy like McIsaac on the top pair, second pair Hronek and Wallman, third pair Stahl and Osterle. They could end up bottom five in the league. We will see what they do in this offseason because this team, without any free agent upgrades, will probably finish bottom five. I think the second rounder for Letty suggests they will try to trade up in 2022 if they don't get a top three, thinking their first St. Louis, second, and Zadina plus another possible third. I think this is a trade scenario right here. For a top three pick. So they're trying to package Zadina and draft picks for a top three if they don't hit the draft lottery at the end there. That's a whole different conversation, moving up in the draft, but just sticking strictly to what they said there in the beginning. I don't think, in my personal opinion, and I got this vibe from Andrew Rinaldi, who we just spoke to yesterday about Jared McIsaac. I don't think he's going to be NHL ready this upcoming year, unless he makes some huge strides in the offseason and comes to training camp and just blows the wheels off, which can happen. But Jared McIsaac, like you said, this was his first healthy year in Grand Rapids at the professional level. And yeah, he looked good, but I don't think he's going to be NHL ready come next season, in my personal opinion. So putting him on the top pair seems a little bit ahead of, like, putting your cart before their horse in that situation. Second pair of Hronek. What?
What's the horse's name?
Well, it is Friday. So today's its name would be Friday today.
Its name would be Friday every day. That's the whole point of the freaking riddle, dude.
Yeah, I know, but I'm never going to give you that. I'm never going to give you that validation, that good feeling. Come on now.
Oh, that validation that you begged for me to give you like 8 minutes ago?
Yes. It's not a double standard here. It goes one way, Scotty. One way.
It's not a double standard. It goes one way.
I guess that would make it a double standard. I'm not the writer here, okay? I'm just a dude. I'm just a dude, all right? He said the second pair, Hronek and Wallman, I would hesitate to pair those two up. Personally, they're both offensive oriented defensemen, and Wallman and Hronek have both struggled mightily in the defensive zone.
Who the hell are we pairing with Sider next year? That's my biggest.
Simon Edvinson. No,
that'd be sick, but like, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, that's why you kind of do need to make a signing in the offseason defensively. Like, correct. Even if it's not like, even if it's your
doesn't
fourth
even
or
have
fifth,
to be a world beater.
Yeah.
Just give me like a zero war player that at least is not a absolute liability to be paired with Moritz Seider. That's
give me
all
Brian
I'm
Lashoff.
For.
Give me Brian Lashoff. Let's go.
Give me Dan Renouf.
Yeah, here we go. We're getting the Dan Renouf talk in. Third pair, Stahl and Osterle. Don't hate that. I don't. Osterle's been the most meh defenseman on this team. I don't have any strong feelings either way, and Stahl I love. So that pair I'm okay with. The rest of this, basically stockpiling your talent in Grand Rapids, I'm all for.
Yeah, no, I'm all for it. Especially when we kind of talked about it the last few days, but I'm all for just bringing all of the SHL dudes over and just putting them in GR. I'm totally fine with that.
I just keep thinking about what Andrew said yesterday, where he was like, yeah, it feels like Frölunda is the minor league team.
Right.
Because all the top end talents over there. I'm like, yeah, actually, you got a pretty good point there. we will go to a short ad break, and then we'll come back and we'll preview the Devils really quick, and then maybe throw a little bit, a couple how do you feel about it questions in there. I got to talk to you guys today about Bet Online. Did I ever make a thing for this? I didn't. I have to make more banners. I don't have a banner. I don't. I only have three I made. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of a Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, from live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Segment three, Friday edition, Lockdown Red Wings podcast. We're going to switch over to a quick little preview of the final game of the season as the Red Wings go to New Jersey to play the Devils. These two teams have so far met two other times this season. The Red Wings have taken both games so far, 5-2 and then 3-0 just, last weekend? This will be the final matchup. Red Wings going for the season sweep, and the Devils riding a four-game losing streak. Scotty, final preview of the season. Is this when we finally see Magnus Hellberg?
I hope so. That'd be sick. I hope so.
I'm riding that Magnus Hellberg hype train so much.
We probably won't, but I really would like to a lot. I much hope so.
In all reality, I mean, you're looking at this game and the Devils aren't good. We know this. And the Red Wings have beaten them the last two times. So is this game possible for the Red Wings to beat? Yeah, but the Red Wings are incredibly banged up. We've gone over it multiple times. They're missing many of their top six forwards. Their defense all season long, especially since the All-Star break, has been neutered outside of Moritz Seider, who's doing all he can to drag this team to competency. And then goaltending, Nedeljkovic has been playing pretty well. I mean, he's on pace to finish the season, you know, above 900 save percentage, which by all accounts is freaking incredible given the defense in front of him.
It's remarkable considering he's rookie eligible and considering the defense that was put in front of him.
But I really cannot say in full confidence that, yeah, they're going to win this game.
No, you never can. We haven't been able to say that in full confidence in a very long time. Let's just go out on a win.
Let's do it. I mean, that's the best case scenario. What I want to see out of this game is a Bertuzzi goal to get him to 30. Because he's got one name left. He's at 29. Honestly, I'd love to see a Lucas Raymond goal in there as well. Just because I feel like, I don't know. It feels like it's been a while. I know it hasn't been a while, but it just feels like I got so used and accustomed to all the scoring he was doing early in the season. I'm just jonesing, man. I got the shakes. A Turner Ellison goal would be fantastic for narrative purposes. Root for radio, right? I mean, he finally, after all those years in the AHL, is playing at the NHL level, even if it's just like Andrew said yesterday, like you put your time in, here's a couple games at the end of a pointless season.
Team first, narrative second, everything else third. That should be everybody's rooting interest. Whatever fits the narrative.
You know what? No, I'm going to take it back. Not even a goal. I want him to get an NHL point. Even if it's like a secondary assist. I'm rooting for the guy. Underdog stories, man.
Underdog stories. Yeah.
And there's a lot of those on this roster this year with the amount of AHL players that have been called up. But I mean, those are the things that I'm looking for and that I'm hoping for. I'm hoping Nedeljkovic puts up a positive 900 save percentage. He's at 901 right now, just to be 900 or better for the end of the season. But I'm rooting for individual performances at this point.
I want pandemonium. I want like a Zadina hat trick to just send everybody into a madhouse before the season ends, so that everybody's going into the off season and they're like, oh my goodness, we cannot now. Everybody's like, we can't wait for to see Zadina next season. He got a hat trick.
God, that'd be crazy. Like all of a sudden, all the people asking to trade him are like, well, let's wait.
Yeah, pumped. Like he's gonna take such a big step forward. Did you see the lad that one game that he had? But it happens to be the last game of the season, so that's just everyone's most recent memory, and then everybody just freaks out all off season. That's what I want.
So can he stay hot?
I want pandemonium.
As long as the Wings win.
Correct. I don't care about 0.5%. I still want him to win. I don't care.
All right. Yeah, let's go with that.
Personally, that's subjective, but like I don't give a damn about 0.5% anymore. I'm down to go and end the season on a win.
I mean, we're talking about this. Remember, the Senators were just 1 point behind them or ahead of them the other day. Yeah, you're just they got two games left, though. You could very well even you could win this game and still end up passed by the Senators if they go on two wins. But that's I mean, that's neither here nor there. 0.5%, like you said, doesn't really matter. Let's just hope the Red Wings go out and win, get that dub and then a high note. And then we'll be into the offseason. And the first week's going to be jam packed. Like we got so much. We've talked about it beforehand.
We got. I mean, we're starting to get into the week after that too. I mean, we're starting to. We're like halfway through May with our with ideas.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil them all right now, though.
It's going to be fun, though. It's going to be a fun off season.
Yeah. Next week, especially, I think it's going to be fun because all the season has just ended. It's going to be fresh in our minds. We're going to be talking about the season. Then we also at some point have to celebrate the fact that we've gotten to 500 Lockdown Red Wings episodes. How do you feel about 500, Scotty?
Crazy. Crazy. Obviously nobody has been here for all 500. Nolan probably got us to over half of that. And then I jumped on over a year ago now. This off season will be a year and a half with the show. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. It's and I think seeing the consistent and linear growth from my first day to now, and like there really hasn't been a dip or like just kidding. It's not growth. Like it's been pretty linear the whole time, and the show just keeps growing and growing. And it really is awesome. It's really cool.
Yeah, I mean it's been. This is, you know, I joined right as the season was kicking off. You know, I always like to talk about how my first episode is.
Yeah, it's one wild. Of the two hosts. I joined like 6 months before you did, and yet this is still both of our first full seasons because yeah. I joined in what a month into that weird year last year.
You're the Philip Zadina of the Lockdown Red Wings podcast. You've been here forever.
Don't ever say that to me ever again.
You haven't done a full season. Yeah. So it's been great. I mean, I like to joke around that my first episode with the pod was the Lucas Raymond hat trick episode, which is a great way to start. So it's been an exciting season. I'm excited to see what the off season holds because, you know, that gets interesting as we stay at, I think, five episodes a week for the bulk majority of the off season going up to the draft. And so
yeah,
we're
all the way up until the draft, we'll still be at five a week.
So we're going to have a lot of content to plan for. And so expect some fun things. That's what I would say.
A lot of fun stuff. No, we got a lot of stuff planned already, man. Like I said, it'll be a really, really fun off season. Got a lot of guests, a lot of stuff Brian and I will do. It'll be a fun time.
Cool. Scotty, any questions for me?
How do you feel about the fact that we both just finished our first full seasons?
Oh, how do I feel? I feel fantastic. I mean, since the All-Star break, has been kind of rough at times to talk about. But that's more because of the team, not so much because of the podcast. I mean, this has been a blast. This whole show has been so much fun to record with you, and just in general, like the interactions on Twitter have been hilarious. People, the Red Wings community is just so great. Becoming a more active member of it has been so much fun. There's been a lot of clips floating around on me on Twitter. Scotty likes to clip me and then make fun of me using those videos, cropping screenshots from when I text him and then using that at every opportunity.
They're awesome.
It's mostly Scotty. You make it fun, bud.
I'm glad you make it fun too, man. Like I said, we really have like hit the ground running. Like I said, like our first episode together was a Raymond hat trick. Like, and that was, I mean, you had been on as a guest a couple of times when it was Nolan and I.
When I was producer Brian.
When you were producer, yeah, pre-enforcer Brian.
Yeah.
You were producer Brian. And so you came on a couple of times and I was a guest on your old show.
Yeah, we talked Tigers.
To talk Tigers at 1.2. But like, besides that, that was literally the first time we had ever done like a real, like full show about hockey the whole time. Like that was literally the first time. And the first episode, we were like, okay, well, this is going to be listened to because it's opening, like it's the start of the season, and it's the start of the season, and it is a Raymond hat trick. Like, this is, you know, we got to kind of hit the ground running here, and we did, and we took it and ran. And like the addition of YouTube,
that was huge
on opening night. YouTube was not part of the Locked On Network, like it wasn't, and
we didn't get it till December, I think.
December, yeah, and we took that and have seen incredible growth on there, like a whole new platform and ways to interact with listeners and stuff. I mean, the growth that this show has had since just the start of this season, just in the last, you know, 6-7 months is unbelievable, and I can't wait to do, like, next week we'll do some of our, you know, like looking back at the season things, and I cannot wait to go through some of them, because we had some good moments, some fun times, and mostly everything with this just makes me pumped about the future of the show. Like, it really just inspires and motivates to we could keep taking this and keep growing it, because it continues to grow on its own as is.
Well, it's like, it's crazy to think about when we first got on YouTube specifically, like I was sending you screenshots of like how the episodes were doing. And I was like super pumped that an episode got like 75, which was like 25 more than it normally would. And like,
yeah, an episode would hit 50 views and we would be like, that's, you know, like a major win. And that's in this season. Like, we're still in the season that where 50 views was like a big deal. And now
we have 654 subscribers as recording, and we were campaigning to get to 100 before. Right. I mean, we pretty consistently get to at least 300 views, and occasionally get to 1,000 or more. We've had 4 or 5 that have gotten to, you know, over 1,000 this week. The Moritz Cider Leeds Calder poll episode we did to start the week with is at 954 views. Like, the growth on YouTube alone, like, has been fantastic. And that doesn't even count in Apple and Spotify, which I do have numbers for, so I have them in front of me. Like, it's been incredible. This, like, not just fun, like just being able to talk about the Red Wings every day, which I have such a passion for, has been so much fun. But to see like that our passion also is conveyed, our passion through the awkwardness sometimes, because I'm an incredibly awkward person and I know that.
You're not
that
like awkward.
The passion gets past that, through that, to the listener, and that they're enjoying it, and we're getting that kind of feedback and listenership.
And the community. I mean, like, the comment section is now like a little community, and like our Twitter hit 2,000 followers during this season. Like, just the amount of growth and support, you know, we received again, as being, this is both of our first season. Like, I was, when I first joined, it was like, I didn't really know what I was doing. It was my first gig in this industry with anybody. And Nolan really like led the way and showed me the ropes, which I'm forever grateful for. And then, you know, this start of this season was like, okay, like now, like I have to step up a little bit, because like now Brian's where I was just 5 months ago. You know what I mean? And like, and so it's a lot, you know, and we, I think what also helped is just our urinize, like chemistry and friendship we've created through it has really helped just take it, you know, like it was so natural right away. Like, literally, like, I remember we had a conversation off air, like an episode or two in, like literally one of our single digit, like first couple of episodes. And we were like, that was great, man. This is so easy. And we're like, yeah, like this is, you know what I mean? Like, this is, it was really like natural almost immediately. And I think that helped a lot too. But yeah, it's definitely cool. Like first full, like start to finish season under our belts. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Man, we talked so long about that. I do also want to say, you mentioned it too, but I've said it before and I'll say it again now as the season ends. I also owe this, like you, how you owe like your start kind of to Nolan. I also owe this to Nolan as well. I mean, Nolan, when he told us he was going to step down, he, you know, was like, I will recommend you to take over. You know, just let me know if you want it. So like, I wouldn't have taken over one of the two hosting spots on this show if it weren't for Nolan as well. So like, we both owe so much to Nolan.
Yeah. I owe, more than a lot of people will ever realize to Nolan and my, my status in this industry. So forever grateful for that, man, for sure.
One of these days, he's going to text you and he's be like, you know those favors I did for you? Well, I'm going to cash in.
Let me cash in. Yeah.
He's going to here's, do something crazy. Not a how do you feel about it, but hypothetical, what kind of favor would Nolan cash in on? What's a Nolan-esque favor?
Honestly, at this point, on brand for him is just like, help me get my like identity back or something. Like he's been hacked more times than we could possibly fathom.
So they stole my social security number, Scotty. I need yours.
Twitter stuff. I mean, he's hacked on Twitter. Like, oh man, yeah.
That man needs to turn on 2-step verification.
Yeah, he has now. You best believe. Yeah.
Oh man, that was a man. I feel like we only asked two. How do you feel about it? Because we got all sappy there. I feel like I need to say one. Ask a quick one more. But now I'm like looking around my room. I don't know what the
How do you feel about people with hair on their head?
I don't like them. I generally am very jealous of people like that. It rubs me the wrong way. Like, why did I have to lose my hair of all people? Like, come on now.
Tough bleep.
How do you feel about people always making tall jokes to you?
I don't. I don't feel anything about that.
You're just over it?
Yeah, it's you know, it's like whatever. It's actually wildly inconvenient most of the time. Like, it's not as cool as people think.
Do you duck through going through doorways?
Some, yeah, for sure, some.
That was a very unsatisfactory answer.
What to tell you? Like,
you gotta flare it up a little bit. Where's the radio? Huh?
Yes, every door. I have to crawl through.
I have to get on my hands and knees. All right. Man, well,
this is really our last show of the season.
It is. And I ended it asking about your height. And so that's about par for the course.
I ended it asking about your baldness, which is
very That's on-brand. About par for the course.
Very on brand, yeah.
All right. We'll be back on Monday, guys. We'll recap the Red Wings
game. We will
game.
Be back Monday. We're not, we like, just because the season's over. Like, we're still doing 5 a week for, like, a while still. We'll go down to 3 at some point after the draft in the middle of the summer. But like we are not going anywhere. Still doing 5 a week. We'll be talking about the playoffs. We'll be doing a lot of season like review, recap kind of fun stuff over the next couple of weeks. But we are still very much a daily show about the Detroit Red Wings for the foreseeable future. So don't think that just because the season is done that we're going anywhere.
So don't stop listening. Don't turn that dial, as they would say.
Don't turn the channel.
We'll be back on Monday to recap the season and the last Red Wings game.
Bet online.
There it is. I knew you're getting predictable. You got to change it up. Maybe in the middle of the segment.
Man, that wasn't as predictable. You were in the middle of a sentence, and it wasn't like the very, very end.
Same time, same place. It's Scotty's team every day.
Every day.